Penguin Random House Audio presents Black Liturgies, Prayers, Poems, and Meditations for Staying Human. This is the author, Cole Arthur Riley. For Us. Entrance. I never wanted to write a prayer book. I grew, and my love for writing grew, at a great distance from Christian literature of any kind. By the time I was in college, I had developed enough of a palate and arrogance for what I deemed serious literary fiction that I would find myself internally wincing at book recommendations in the church I'd begun attending. The same suspicion I felt toward their God was mapped onto his alleged scribes. I believed, and still largely do, that the most trustworthy and perhaps meaningful literature can be found in the economy of the short story, the nuance of the memoir, the imagery of the poem. Literature, real art, could not be found in a church pew. How could it? Religion's purpose is to bring mystery close enough to touch. We give God a name, a face. We write creeds that outline the conditions of our belief. This requires that the mystery stay still and at times contract. But art has little concern for definition, certainty, or even permanence. It survives by the mystery expanding and recreating itself. In Parable of the Sower, for example, Octavia Butler is not interested in telling you what precisely to believe about Lauren's desire to leave the walled neighborhood in the middle of apocalypse. She only cares if you rise and go on the journey. Lucille Clifton put it, "You come to poetry not out of what you know, but out of what you wonder. It is conveyance, rarely indoctrination. In this way, good art is necessarily queer, fluid and subversive and impermanent. Religion, stripped of such queerness, can be excessively clear and uncompromising in its rigidity. But when practiced well, religion, or more broadly spirituality, has the capacity to tether incomprehensible mystery to the beauty and pain of the human heart. It is not the only way to do so, but it is one way. To be a writer, with any sincere concern for the human condition as we've known it, one must contend with the spiritual. This is inescapable. The question, I suppose, is one of form. I want a mystery that contracts so that I can dare approach, that I can turn over in the palm of my hand, but then watch pass through my fingers and become the air I breathe. I want a spirituality that demands artistry, not just from the divine, but from me. All of this has required me to interrogate if I believe the form of liturgy has any merit. As you are hearing these words, you can rightfully assume I've come to the admission that it does. I was 23 when I walked into an Episcopal church with an overwhelming desire to die. The service began with a hymn. 24 elderly choir members hovered above us from the loft, singing words I couldn't make out, which has its own way of making you feel alone. But then, all around me, people began to speak the liturgy aloud. Blessed be God, and blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever. As the voices began their recitation, a few things occurred in me at once. First, defiance. The atoms of me surged in resistance to recite words like some mindless zombie. I had my own thoughts, my own idealized individualism to protect. The second, chills. The voices of the room blurred together, all speaking in unison. How strange this landed on the senses. What cult was this? Liturgy can feel eerie, especially to those of us who know what it is to have a mob chant words in unison. Not for beauty or mystery, but for destruction. But the third, relief. Complicated and undeniable relief. It can be difficult to find the words to pray when one wants to die. The independence of personal prayer required more imagination than I could access at the time. It is exhausting enough trying to keep oneself alive, to be expected to articulate love and hope and beauty, and more dangerously, lament. Was like trying to float with weights hanging from my neck. Liturgy, I found, was a kind of rest. For the first time, my presence in a spiritual space didn't depend on my own articulation or imagination. I could rise and sit and kneel and speak or not speak in the sacred theater that others had written the script for. I could let others hold a sacred imagination for me. To be clear, liturgy in no way saved me, nor was it even a remedy to my depression, but it was an anchor, something that kept me from drifting helplessly into my own interior current. Ritual, when coupled with beauty, makes for a very adequate mooring. It won't carry you to shore, but it will keep you close enough that hope can swim out to visit you regularly. Years later, in the summer of 2020, I began a project called Black Liturgies. It was a season when many wondered if the world might be prepared to at last contend with the terror of whiteness armed against black bodies. We witnessed brutal public executions. Elijah McClain was taken from us, Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, and then George Floyd, and non-black people weren't as quick to look away, or so it seemed. For black folk, nothing of this was new, of course. Before Breonna, there was Sandra Bland. Before Elijah, there was Tamir Rice. Before George, there was Eric Garner. But with the awakening of white attention came white opinion, and a white president who stoked racial divisions at the sight of religious fault lines. As people began to reveal their moral allegiances, many black people experienced renewed gratitude for spiritual spaces capable of holding their grief and hope. Others looked around and realized we weren't as safe in church as we thought we were, as many white evangelical spaces revealed precisely who they've always been to queer people, disabled people, refugees, immigrants, black people, and other people of color. The exodus from toxic religiosity became more urgent for many of us. Coupled with the isolation of the pandemic, the search for more honest and creative spiritual community was awakened in a new way. The Sunday after George Floyd's murder was Pentecost Sunday. While still in the height of the pandemic, I logged into an Episcopal church service online and waited for some manner of belief to return to me. I lay in the same position I had been for days prior, a cluster of grapes and a bag of hot Cheetos on the pillow next to me. And I waited, knowing what I've always known, that there are days when it is particularly difficult to pray words written by a white man. For all its beauty, this liturgy that had given me words to pray when I had none was suffocating. Thomas Cranmer, who wrote the Book of Common Prayer at a time when my ancestors were being abducted, alienated from one another, and enslaved, would not be an anchor for me that day. He was incapable of speaking to my pain, black grief, black hope, in a voice I could trust. I wanted more. And so I began Black Liturgies, mostly out of rage. I cannot say how much of my rage was holy and how much was hatred, but I hope it contained more of the former. I was desperate for a liturgical space that could center Black emotion, Black literature, and the Black body unapologetically. I began sharing poetry and prayers and quotations on social media. I thought the project would bring together a dozen or so of us who weren't in physical proximity to one another, but maybe were craving the same thing. Space to breathe. I watched the project quickly become a community of many more, people who love liturgy and people who had never even heard the word, Christians and people who had never set foot in a church. It is a space held together by the sacredness of black words alone. When I write, I try to be transparent in naming that I am writing out of a Christian formation. I found meaning and beauty in the Christian story, and I honor that. However, I am equally transparent in naming that my spirituality cannot be reduced to this. I was not raised in an overtly religious home, but as I've gotten older, I've been able to decipher the discrete presence of spirituality that flows through my family. A spirituality grounded not in articulation of doctrine or creed, but in storytelling, myth, humor, and the black body. And so while some of these liturgies will speak to a Christian spiritual formation, others will speak to a black spirituality, others to a queer spirituality, others a mythical spirituality. These are, of course, not mutually exclusive, but this is to say that if this book has loyalty to anything, It is the spiritual liberation in all its...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?